You have your Bibles tonight. I'd like to, we're going to use your Bible tonight. So I trust that you'll have it. Get your finger ready and your pencil. I want to draw your attention tonight. It's summertime. Summertime, we relax a little bit. We enjoy ourselves a little bit more. We take vacations. We try to relieve our pressure. And we try to relax a little bit. We grill out in the backyard a little bit. We try to do things to relax, enjoy our families. The outdoors a little more open. Some people go camping. Some people grill out in the back. Some people take weekend trips. They go on a Friday night and a Saturday, and they always come back to church on Sunday. And so they take it, go around, and go do it all for different things. But I have a concern, and I want to share it with you. I want you to see what it is. If you have your Bible, I'm going to look at about four or five different places. So follow with me. If you have your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd sort of resort back to our theme a little bit, if we could. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want you to notice verse number 4. I'm going to read down through it. I'm going to give you something tonight to protect you. Now, I can only give it to you. I can't protect you. You have to take it and apply it. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look in verse number 4. That every one of you, in verse 3 says, this is the will of God, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's what I want tonight. Try to help you do that. To know how. I want to give you an example of someone that figured it out afterwards. I want you to see the result. For young people, moms and dads, all of us, everybody in this room, we're all susceptible. Notice, if you would, verse 4, to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, holiness, and in honor, something that lifts up the Lord. Not in the lust of concupiscence, an old English word for a craving for that which is forbidden. A desire for something God said no to. Notice, if you would, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Notice, if you would, in verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He, therefore, that despiseth, or says, I'm not interested, I'm going to live my life the way I want, I want to be pretty clean, but not holy. He that therefore despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So God gave us his Holy Spirit for the express purpose that we might learn to live holy. That's why God gave us his Holy Spirit. So that whenever you and I sense danger spiritually, the Holy Spirit could touch our heart and we say, I'm not going to do that. As the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart, we have to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to know to possess our vessels. Now, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, I want you to flip back over now to 2 Samuel chapter 11. You'll immediately recognize the passage. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab. So David basically was in the wrong place. He decided to stay back and relax. Stay back in his summer house and relax a little bit. And his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, it's customary for a king to lead his troops into battle, but David tarried back in Jerusalem. He was going, but he was just going a little bit later. I'm going to do it, but just not right now. Dangerous thought. Not saying it was wicked here, just be careful. Something you know you ought to do, do it now. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Notice what he says. Verse 2, and it came to pass at an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look on. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now Uriah the Hittite, David knew exactly who that was. That's one of his mighty men. Oh, this is Uriah's wife. Okay. Verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman. Why did he do that? I want you to notice tonight. Now let's take just this one sin and add something else to it. All the sins of life. Let's say it's not sinful to have a Maserati or a Ferrari, but for probably most of us it would be because we cannot really afford it. So we would be making a mistake if we went and did that. I just so you'll know, in my notes, I decided, you know, how much is a Maserati? Well, it's $153,000, roughly, okay? A few nickels, dimes, either way. And then how much is a Ferrari? Well, a Ferrari is $313,000, okay? I would be terrified for my wife just to park it in the garage. I would be terrified for me to park it in the garage. I'm just sure it'd get dinged. Can you imagine what you'd feel like if you drive along and there's a big truck in the front and its flaps are off and all of a sudden a rock goes bing, 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 and then boop. Can you imagine what you would think? That's road rage right there. I mean, when you're driving a Ferrari and that guy bings a rock off your windshield or your front, your car. But I look at that and I say, you know, I want you to know this. I've never been to the Ferrari dealership. I've never gone and saw it. Why? No need. It's forbidden for me. I couldn't afford it. Now, if someone rich in this room, I don't know of anybody in our church that's rich, but if you were rich enough to have a Ferrari, praise the Lord. I'm glad for you. But for me, I cannot go to that Ferrari Maserati dealer and I drive by on Route 28 once. I wonder what those look like. I'm going to wait till I get to heaven. I'll get my Ferrari then if the Lord has those things. I think he's got things far better than that, that I'll look back and say, I'm glad I didn't even mess with that. But many things in a teenager's heart, they'll say, one of these days I'd like to be rich enough to have me a Ferrari or a Lamborghini with those cool, you know, doors that fly up. That'd be cool to have a Lamborghini, purple one. That'd be cool. You could take a vehicle, you could take clothes in the mall, you could take whatever you might decide. You look at it, you see it, the Holy Spirit says, no, spend your money differently. It's forbidden of the Lord. What are we going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go inquire about it. That's what David did. And he found out that this woman was the wife, she's married, of one of his greatest soldiers, one of his mighty men, one of the men that would die for David. What happened? How did he take the next step? Notice, if you would, verse 3, David sent and inquired after the woman. You might say, well, is that wrong? Notice, if you would, in verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her. Okay? We know he committed a horrible sin. But I want you to notice, we're going to go through the book of Psalms in just a minute. And I want you to see what David figured out after this. I want you to see what he figured out. And I want to combine it with someone else that never committed this sin and why he didn't. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to James. If you would, James chapter number 1, very famous passage. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Now, God never tempts us with sin. God wants us to avoid sin. He never wants us to yield to sin, whatever it might be. Whether it might be covetousness, whether it might be position. I think more people in here would be tempted for another position at work that might take you away from the Lord's house, away from your family, because of what it all provides. So there's a trade-off in your mind. Well, I would have so much money, I could take my family to do this, this, and this. And so we make a trade-off in our mind that I wouldn't have as much time with my family, but I have a whole lot more money. And so we begin to make trade-offs. Now notice, if you would, in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now when you notice, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Then he defines how we're tempted. Now follow along with this. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, lust is very simply a desire that's too great. It can be a desire that's all right in its place, but not out of the will of God. You remember 1 Thessalonians says, for this is the will of God for you, that every man would know how to possess his vessel, your body, how to clothe your body, how to use your body for God's glory. So you'll notice how to possess the vessel, to know how. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 14, but every man is tempted. He is solicited to evil. He is drawn away. Now the word drawn here, drawn away, is the word exelko, which is to drag. So it's almost you're powerless against it because you've let the temptation become too great. So notice, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? His own lust. So temptation, the key to this temptation is controlling our own lust, our own desires. That's the way we control this temptation. Every one of us, you control temptation yourself. Notice, if you would, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, the word enticed is a unique word, deliazo. It's the word for deceived. Or it's the word for to decoy. It's to make someone think they're getting something when they're really not. So you're enticed to think how wonderful it would be if I had that vehicle. How wonderful my life would be if I had those clothes. How wonderful it would be if I had that job. We're enticed to think something that's not true. And so our desire for it becomes so great because of the enticement. We have to be so careful because it's our job to control our own lust. How do we do that? How do we control something that's a normal desire? It is a normal desire to have enough possessions to take care of your family. That's normal. But what is not normal is when we desire an abundance or much more. So how do we control the desire, keep it in its place? Notice, if you would, in verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, whenever the desire has met, listen to this, with a plan. There's a conception there. I've got now a plan how to get that thing. So we have to control our lust. And one of the ways we can stop it is saying, you know, now I want you to have your Bible and you follow along with me. I'm going to give you a few points on how to control. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now keep that in mind. When lust hath conceived, keep that in mind. When two things come together, when the desire for something comes together with a plan, or when we accept the desire in our heart as okay, when lust hath conceived. It's sin. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 24. I want to reemphasize this point to you. Proverbs 24. Notice with me if you would. A simple verse for all of us to memorize. Verse number 9. The first part. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know what that is? The idea that I can have that. When lust has come together with the plan, when lust has come together with it's all right, when a desire that God says no to, thou shalt not lie, but if I do, I can get that thought, is sin. We think, well, the idea it's sin when I do it. No, the Lord said it's sin when you think about it and doing it. Now, let me give you a couple of things. Let's go back, if you would, please, to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. And I want you to see this plan into action. Notice with me if you would. We may not be able to say that David was necessarily in the wrong place. Verse number 1, the last phrase, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David stayed back and wasn't where he normally would have been. That doesn't mean that's sin, but it may set the stage. And we have to be careful. There could be a place where we're weak at. Maybe if you take your computer and you say, that computer, I have to be so careful with my computer because I can go places where I'm not. And so when you walk into the room and maybe your wife is not home, or you walk into the room and your husband is not home, you're going to go on the shopping network. And really, I'm talking about any sin. I'm not talking about just, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying that any sin, anything that desire becomes too great is sin. So when you look at the computer, or when you've got a book that you want to read about and you sit down, that book is in a certain place, it ought not to be there. So there are things that can lead up to sin that we have to control. A place. This not necessarily is wrong here for David to tarry back. But it sets the stage. So you have to be careful. Maybe you don't have, that this next promotion requires so much time away from your family. And so, you're just thinking about it a little bit, but you don't let your mind go on it very much, but you hang around some of the guys that have the position, or some other guys that want the position. So they're going to talk about it, and you're going to hear about it. You're in the wrong place. Now, we're not saying it's sin, unless you go back up to James, and it says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But the Lord is saying the thought of foolishness is sin. So I don't think David had the thought at this point in time. I'm just going to stay back, get a little bit of rest, and then I'll go to battle. I think that was David's thought. Then notice, if you would, in verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. How many of you ever had a sleepless night? Have you ever got up and maybe went downstairs and got a book, started reading a little bit, or you got up and went down and flipped on the TV, or you did something? You went out and got something, went out and sat on the back deck, or you went and got in your easy chair and you sat there and you tried to figure out a way to go to sleep. Well, David got up and couldn't sleep. Is this sin? No. But you have to be so careful the closer you get. And that's the reason why we have to be so watchful and yield to the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit was saying to David, be careful. So notice, if you would, Then came to pass the evening time, David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. Now, had he committed sin by going up and he's just looking around over the vast city that he's the king of? No, not necessarily. He sees a woman washing herself. Yes, he should turn his eyes away. Now, many times people took their baths on the rooftop of their homes in this area. We don't know. I don't think Bathsheba, I don't think there's any indication that she was doing anything wicked. Perhaps things that she did daily. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. That's certainly not sinful. But notice what David does. He does a very innocuous thing, you might say. He sent and inquired after the woman. Now keep in mind, he's a king. He could have any woman that he wanted. So he said, I've never seen her before. She's beautiful. I might take her into my harem. I like to check on her. So he sent and inquired. Even this part, I don't think is sinful. But the next part is. Notice, David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers. That was wrong. No question. It's somebody else's wife. That was wrong. Now, David should have, when he saw her bathing, turned his head away and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that. There's a Ferrari. I've got a weakness toward Ferraris. I'm not going to look at it. I've got a weakness toward new suits. I'm not going to go to the suit store. I've got a weakness toward shoes. I'm not going to go to the shoe store. Imelda Marcos had 1,000 shoes in her home. You and I couldn't wear 1,000 shoes. We tried. Probably in a lifetime. But she had this fetish or this desire to have anything her eyes laid upon. And so I see that I'd like to buy that. I'd like to buy this. I'd like to buy that. It's no different than David. Now, keep in mind, then when lust hath conceived, when your eyes fall upon something, something has to happen. And here's the key. Take your Bible and turn to Job 31. Step number one. How to prevent sin in your life. Notice this. Job 31, 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I made a covenant. I made an agreement with mine eyes. I made a rule. It's called the Job rule. I'm not going to look at another woman but my wife. That's the Job rule. So every time I see a woman and all of a sudden the old devil says, wow, she's pretty, I'm going to turn my eyes away. Well, boy, I'm going to turn my eyes away. I made a covenant with mine eyes. And everybody in this room, you've got to make a covenant with your eyes about anything in your life that is a desire for you that's too great. Doesn't matter what it is. Well, I love to go shopping. Well, you need to make a covenant with your eyes to say, I'm only going to go to the mall and get what I need. The other day, my wife and I went to the grocery store. I need to make a covenant with mine eyes when I go to the grocery store. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about when you go to the grocery store? Anybody like me? I mean, you go to the grocery store and man, I see all kinds of stuff. I mean, I see ice cream and I see, you know, fudge and put on the ice cream. And I see, now in and of itself, that's not wrong. But you know, I've got this budget that I'm trying to abide by. And so we go in there. And the other day, let's go out and have, let's grill out. Or let's go get something to grill out. Well, we go to get grill out. Well, you know, it's not just the hamburgers. It's how many of you like mushrooms? Okay. Well, I like get a little mushrooms. And then I like lettuce. I like tomatoes. You like onions. You like mustard. And have you been to the store and seen how many kinds of mustard there is? Well, you like spicy brown mustard. You like Do you like this kind of mustard, that kind of mustard? Do you like old mustard, new mustard? I mean, it's all kinds of stuff in there, I'm telling you. And so for a guy like me that doesn't go into the grocery store, it's like a candy store. I go in there and I see, wow, I like to get that. And I walk out, I'm just going to cook hamburger and I spend $100. You know how many times I can do that? Not many. So I have to go in that store and make a covenant with mine eyes. Now, what's the damage? The greatest thing, the worst thing could happen, I could be 300 pounds instead of 200. That's one of the bad things. But you know what happens? Once I make a covenant with mine eyes, that's the beginning point of the end for sin. You have to make a covenant with your eyes for whatever is a temptation to you. Well, I love to sit down and watch football games, or I love to sit down and watch baseball games. And you might spend 4 or 5 hours in a day doing that and ignore your family. If it, whatever thine eyes fall upon, make a covenant with your eyes. Job teaches us the secret to avoiding lust. Make a covenant with your eyes. Make it stick. You look in your life and you see things that are great temptations to you, making a covenant, make agreement with your eyes and with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, you help me that when I see those things, I turn my eyes away no matter what it is. If it's pornography on the internet, if it's a show on TV, if it's a whatever it might be, if it's clothes, if it's food, if it's a house, if it's whatever it might be, Lord, give me the power. I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to make a promise to you. Now, step number two. Remember this. When lust hath conceived, come together with a plan. David saw Bathsheba. Wow, who is that? Well, I could have her in my harem, and she's beautiful. And he's thinking about it. So he sends and inquires about her. Oh, she's Uriah's wife. It didn't stop there. Everybody in this room's got to make a covenant with your eyes right there. You have to make a covenant with your eyes, young people. Remember this. You don't marry somebody because of the way they look, because looks change. Just give them 50 years. Marry because of the heart. Now, I'm not saying you marry someone that's ugly, I mean, in your opinion. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You look at some people and they look beautiful to one person in the world. God made them so. So my point to you is that God will give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But you have to take your desires and say, Lord, here's my desires. I want no desires but what are pleasing to you. And I'll make a covenant with mine eyes. Is it any amazing thing to you that Samson, what happened to Samson? When he was caught in his sin and God pulled back his power from his life, what did he lose first? His eyes. God said, if you can't control them, I can. And he allowed the Philistines to put out his eyes. No more lust like that. Be careful. Your eyes are a gate that you must make a covenant with your eyes. Job, we're going to look at it in a minute, was a great saint of God because he did one thing. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Now notice the process. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? No conception there. I'm not going to allow my mind to have the privilege of taking the sight and put it together with a plan. Turn my eyes away. Make a covenant. Anybody that falls in pornography never did that. Young people, make a covenant with your eyes. Young men, young ladies, make a covenant with your eyes tonight to protect yourself. Now, let's go to David. We look here in David. Look, if you would, in Psalm 51. I want you to see this famous psalm. Notice, if you would, go through quickly and we'll end up. I want you to see this. Step number one, make a covenant with your eyes. Notice if you would. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Plural. He knew he sinned multiple ways. Well, he lusted after Bathsheba. He took Bathsheba. He killed her husband. He was guilty of a lot of things. And you notice verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Notice over, if you would, in verse number 11, cast me not away from thy presence. The first thing that you lose is the presence of God in your life. When I say the presence of God, his personal closeness. There's a distance that's there. It's the reason why a lot of people that are living in sin don't even feel sure they're saved. You don't feel you're saved. You look at Scripture and you're saved because of the promises of God, not because of the way you feel. But he said, look, the first thing that's going to happen when you begin to live in sin, you're going to lose the presence of God in your life. The Holy Spirit gets quiet because he knows you're not going to listen. Young people, never let the Holy Spirit get quiet on you. Tell the Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you to help me. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, you lose that. And David figured that out. And he said it wasn't worth it. Now I want you to see David figures it out. Psalm 139. You have your Bible. Step 2. Psalm 139. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. But I want you to see it. Step 1. Make a covenant with your heart. Step 2. Psalm 139. Verse 23. Invite the Lord's inspection. Make a covenant with your heart and invite the Lord's inspection. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my, here it is, thoughts. Lord, don't let me think that thought. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? So David says, I want to do a double check. I made a covenant, Lord, but I want you to help me. I want you to inspect my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know what he's saying? The wicked way starts with my thoughts. A Maserati, a Ferrari, a botany suit, nice shoes, pictures on the wall. I'd like to have a signed autographed picture of so-and-so. Well, that might make it worth $5,000 when you can buy one at the store for $50. Or you can buy a real cheap print at Walmart for $10. Now, I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't buy. I'm saying you got to say, Lord, search me and see if my thoughts are okay with you. Lord, this is what I would like. Is this okay with you? That's the key to protecting your thoughts. Inviting the Lord to inspect your thoughts. Lord, is this okay? David said, search me. Have you done that? Do you do that on a regular basis? Lord, watch me. I want to invite you to search my life. I have no problem with pornography, the internet, or anything like that. I invite my wife. Look, honey, she can see my phone. She sees all my emails. She can check my computer. Drew Gardner can watch my computer. And nothing to hide. I don't really care. It's a protection. The other day, I went to the bank. And, you know, Paul used to take the money to the bank. So I went to the bank, and we need a new signer because Paul signed the checks. Now follow along with me. I've had friends. A friend of mine stole $1 million from a church in Kansas City. So I'm terrified of money. I see what money did to my family. I don't want any part of it. I just want to use it for the Lord's glory, take care of my wife and family. I want to use money for God's purpose. But I want to take it and say, Lord, is this okay with you? So you know what we do in the church? When the offering comes in, you put an offering plate, it goes out there, those guys out in the lobby, they lock it up in a bag, and they take it into the library and drop it down a chute. It goes into a locked room. And the counters go in there, 2+, open up the room, take the money out, set it on the table with 2+2+2, and they count the money. They put it back in the bag, take the key, lock it up, and on Monday morning, Paul would take the bag and take it to the bank. Paul can't write a check, but he could sign a check. He couldn't balance a checkbook, so he couldn't steal money. Now, I guess you could have taken a knife and cut open the bag and stole the cash, but you don't do that one time. So my point is, you have to have enough trust in a person. You don't make it easy. So I go sit down at the bank, and the lady sits down with me, and I take somebody else with me, and we're going to get a new signer to take Paul's place. And we sit down there, and the lady says, okay, now, do you have signing authority? I said, no, ma'am. She said, but I thought you were the president of the corporation. I am, but I can't sign checks. Okay, then you can authorize a signer. So you know what I had to do? I'd come back to the church and get Annie and Liz, secretaries, office administrator, to write me a note. So I could go back and take it to the banker and say, see, I got proof. I can authorize signers. Is that dumb or what? But I can't take any money. I can't sign checks. Can't balance a checkbook. I can't do those things. So there's checks put in place, not because I am afraid for me. I just don't want anybody to be tempted. So there's all kinds of breaks in it to protect us. Put covenants in your life. Invite the Lord, search me. So I'll ask Rob Fredericks, the treasurer, how's it look to you? Now, do we have enough breaks in it? Whoever the treasurers are there, is it protected enough? Yes, okay, then that's good. Talked to the banker the other day, and the lady at the bank, you know what she said to me? She said, well, that's good. But you can't sign check. It's good. And our banker that we deal with, he said, you know, that's a good thing. You can't sign checks. I said, no problem. Now, I'm not tempted to sign. I don't even like to sign my own checks, let alone the church's. You put covenants in your life. It's important. You cannot be a great Christian without covenants in your life and the inviting of the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Search me, O God. Is what I'm doing okay with you? Then the final step, keep in mind, we're looking at David, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, I'm not necessarily saying them in this order. I think the first thing you do is make a covenant. The second thing you do is memorize the command. Notice, if you would, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal, now keep in mind, this is David after he's committed this horrible sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean? By taking heed to thereto according to thy word. You've got to say, I'm going to obey God's word. He figured that out. Now, I knew the earlier commandments were very clear. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. But I didn't heed it. Notice, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. That meant something to David. Here it is, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Step number 3, memorize his command. Lots of times I'd be doing something and, you know, the thought would hit my mind. Dad said, don't do that. Mom said, pick your friends wisely. So I'd remember the command of my parents and it protected me. Now, the fourth thing is you got to heed scripture. You got to say, Lord, I will do it. You make a covenant with your eyes. You invite the Lord's inspection. When you see something ought not to be there, you memorize scripture, what God said about it. So when it comes up, you say, my father said not to do that. I'm not going to do that. And you said, and I'm not going to do it. Take heed to the scriptures. You do those four things, you'll be clean as the new snow. But if you break those things, you won't know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, everybody in this room, you now know how to possess your vessel. make a covenant. I see a weakness in my life, make a covenant. God, search me. If it comes up, I'm going to memorize God's word. I'm going to memorize what God said about it. And I am going to take heed to it tonight. You know how to possess your vessel. This week, I want to urge you to be clean as snow. It's a choice. Know how to possess your vessel. I want you to turn one last verse. Job 42. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Job. Keep in mind, this is the man that made the covenant. He made the covenant with his eyes that he might not think the wrong things. And notice what he says. Verse 40, chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and here it is, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Because he acted like God could see his thoughts and he wanted to be clean. Look down in verse number 8. Therefore take, now this is God speaking to Job's friends. Take therefore now unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. And this phrase, I like it, and it's what I want in my life. For him will I accept. You want to be accepted of the Lord? Put those 4 things in your life. Make a covenant with your eyes. Search me, O God. Hide God's command in your heart. Say, I'm going to do this thing with all my heart. Take heed according to his word. Tonight, I want you to be like Job. Him will I accept. Her will I accept. Does God accept you tonight? Are you clean? Let's bow his word of prayer.